As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton. The real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's in South Philly. If you didn't know, baseball is back. You can watch all the action at Chickie's and Pete's this season. Find a location near you at chickiesandpetes.com. Thank you to Todd McShay. If you missed Todd McShay on the WIP Afternoon Show, you can use the Odyssey app, use Rewind. We do have our own draft expert, the WIP Afternoon Show, to give his, not yet, relax.
Ah, I know, he is just
relentless. Unbelievable, this
relentless
guy. By the way, while we have Todd McShay on, he's like pointing to his watch and looking at me.
Well,
I was like, I got it.
Yeah, earlier, was like, yeah, like, we'll do a live one. It'll be fun. He's like, all right, right when I arrive.
Yeah.
I gotta go to the game. Right. Or maybe we could do it Monday.
Like, yeah.
Look at the nerve.
I know. But before that, we have something very important. Every Friday at 4:30 on the WIP Afternoon Show, we announce who has the belt at WIP. Now, the belt goes to the WIP employee who brought it the most that week. And for two straight weeks, Ike won the belt
over
2 weeks ago.
Yep.
And they kept it last week.
Yep.
And the question is, does he keep it for a third week?
Fight for the rights of every man. I am the real American. Fight for what's right. Fight for your life.
By the way, how many times do we need to tell Lake we need an actual belt?
I know. Well, again, we didn't have the Eagles Insider of the Year award until the week of the award.
All right.
So,
well, we started the belt a month and a half ago. So, all right. So Ike is the current belt holder. The question is, does Ike hold on to the belt? Here is the result. This week, the belt changes hands.
Because he usually steps up on Fridays.
The new holder of the belt is Paul Jolovitz. Jollies.
No one's clapping.
No one's clapping.
Please clap.
Ike doesn't even care.
He's nope. Sick.
It's unbelievable. Paul Jolovitz comes in and takes the belt from Ike for his basically full show aimed at Daryl Morey. Including line after line after line, crushing Morey. Buzz, let's hear some of the excellent lines from Paul Jolovitz.
Seattle phone book has a man named Dennis Knox in it. Why am I asking you this? Because the trivia question I'm going to ask you, I have three questions. I won't go to the phones. Who is one more in the NBA? Daryl Morey, Sixers general manager, or Dennis Knox of Seattle, Washington, picked randomly out of the phone book. Randomly. Pick anybody you want, because Daryl Morey has won Squidoosh, always will win Squidoosh.
Wow.
Horrible general manager, nope. Doesn't understand risk-reward.
Horrible.
I would do a better job than he does. I just should never, ever say that about a professional general manager in a professional sport.
Do we have another one, Buzz?
The general manager of Niagara Falls wanted the water to keep rolling, and he chose Daryl Morey as his water movement specialist. Niagara Falls would stop tomorrow. There'd be a dam that appeared near the falls. You wouldn't know who built it, how it got done, but Daryl Morey was just a...
The Daryl Morey Dam.
Yeah. Or dam, we got Daryl Morey.
Wow.
Roasted him.
Is there another one, Buzz?
He might be the worst executive in the history of sports, not Philadelphia sports, because of the expectations thing.
Wow. Paul Jolovitz holds the belt at WIP. The question is, will Jolly do enough to keep it, or will someone else do it to steal it away from Jolly? Will Ike become the first two-time holder of the belt?
Well, I should have been the first three-time holder.
Well, will you?
Thought I had a strong week.
Strong Friday.
Strong Friday.
Excuse me?
Well,
well, I'm just saying, I thought I had a strong week.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
The show was strong.
Jolly, though, we're gonna need Angelina.
Yep.
And the people monitoring the show to make sure that he stays on top of his game. Most likely will not be listening. Anyone
no.
from this show.
Not no, even on no, this no. weekend.
He's not on this weekend?
No.
Well, he can keep it on Twitter video.
Yeah.
Twitter video.
I'm
Twitter
sure that
video.
Would go well. That's where he puts all his picks.
Yes.
He tweeted about the BYU pick six times.
Yep. He's hot as fire. All right. Before we get to the High Hopes Jackie baseball report, we do have our own draft expert.
Come on.
It's like he wants his own intro music.
Now he's walking. The guy's been waiting for 25 minutes right out here. He's walking as slow as he can.
Looks like kind of Patrick the Starfish.
Yeah, I know. Okay, Andrew, the official draft analyst of the WIP Afternoon Show. Hi, okay.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? What it do?
Say your thing.
What
Come
it
on.
Do, all right. Andrew?
What it do, Andrew?
Hey, man.
This might backfire.
Yep.
We got a guy, all right? The Eagles are making a splash in this draft, and it's going to come on the D-line. We're taking a defensive tackle out of Michigan, and no, not Mason Grant, but his counterpart, Kenneth Grant. A guy out of Michigan, 6'4", 331. And let me just tell you, we're getting freaky.
Wow.
Whoa.
Getting freaky.
We're getting freaky. This guy's a freak. He clocked a sub-540 at 360 pounds. He had 50 pressures and 8 sacks in 2 years. And guess what? He can get up. He's got 10 passes defended. Second all-team Big Ten. He's sneaky athletic, man. You watch that Penn State tape of him chasing down Catron Allen. He's able to maintain his run gaps and be ferocious on that D-line.
Aww.
There is no offensive lineman that wants to block him one-on-one. He's going to terrorize him. He eats up blocks, creates one-on-ones for other D-linemen. He's ferocious, kind of like Vita Vea.
Wow.
So I think he's a great guy, either round one or round two, depending where he falls. And I think he's a great fit for our defense.
Wow. Voice crack.
Uh-oh. Not a big game player.
Wow, not
there.
A red lightsman.
Nope.
Hey, guess what? We're going to finish, though, because he's going to fit really nice next to Jalen Carter when we win the Super Bowl next year. So it doesn't matter.
Oh, you're feeling soupy?
I'm feeling soupy. I said 2 and 3 years, and guess what?
Yep.
It's going to happen.
So they're getting Vita Vea with the 32nd pick?
Better than Vita Vea.
Wow.
Whoa.
Big comps only on this show.
All right. Well done, OK,
Good
Andrew.
Good job, Andrew.
Hey, appreciate you, fellas.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
There he is. OK, Andrew. I got to give him credit. Aside from the voice cracking like a teenager, he pulled it off.
That's what we want to hear.
He pulled it off.
That's what we want to hear.
He pulled it off.
Now, who is better, McShay or OK, Andrew?
Oh, OK, Andrew is better than McShay.
All day.
I love him. And he stepped up here as a backward hatsman.
Well, he's young, though.
Right.
You know,
right,
I mean, that'll change.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. For the best selection of diamonds to fit every budget, visit the home team at Mark's. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. If the Eagles traded A.J. Brown for a top 4 pick, would you be mad or would you understand? 77.3% say they would be mad.
Do me a favor. You know I don't normally do this, right?
Yeah.
The clip we played earlier with the guys from Boston?
Yes.
Or whatever. Can we replay that?
We wouldn't want to have Buzz scrambling back there.
Well, here's the thing. I want people to realize that we as a show or as a station aren't making up anything.
Oh, of course not. We didn't even think of it.
So
yeah.
So I want people to actually hear the report coming from someone else, and we're reacting to it. Because some people out there just read Twitter and don't actually listen to the show.
Yep.
Les Bowen. So you can actually hear the cut for yourself.
Wait a minute. Les Bowen is whining about
yes.
it?
Yes.
Oh.
He made the mistake of tweeting at me.
All right.
Well, that's the mistake he made there, Les.
Les, grow up.
Yes.
All right. Buzz, do you have it?
Earlier today, a little birdie with some really good intelligence, a well-sourced phone call, came to me to offer this possible scenario. If somebody that we wanted the Patriots to select very badly, Abdul Carter, were to fall to 4th, and I know this scenario is slightly unlikely, if he were to fall at 4th overall, how would you feel about a certain team that recently won the Super Bowl, calling up your New England Patriots in desperation and want of Abdul Carter and offering a certain wide receiver who has admitted that he loves New England and would love to play for the Patriots and possibly more selections in a blockbuster draft day trade. That's right. I got a call earlier today saying that the Philadelphia Eagles really, really, really want Abdul Carter and that they would consider, or rather are planning, to call your New England Patriots on draft day if Carter falls to four to see if Mike Vrabel would like a reunion with A.J. Brown and possibly more draft selections and compensation to come.
By the way, this the day after Howard Eskin reported that the Eagles had explored a top 10 trade for A.J. Brown. And you can say what you want about, first of all, Howard is informed on Eagles stuff. And you can say what you want about the other guy. But, like, what we do is react to the news that people talk about.
Yes.
And Les and other people like Les can sit on Twitter and whine about it, that it is like childlike or it's dumb or blah, 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 blah. This is what we do. This is what makes it interesting, and that is why it is a topic of conversation. You can cry on Twitter because no one is listening to what you say anymore, or you can do a little bit of Googling before you start whining that we're making things up and we're talking about dumb things and blah, 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 blah. So there.
All right.
We didn't make up anything.
Yes.
We're just following what other people said.
And just talking about it on a Friday.
And by the way, not just following about what some guy tweeted that we don't even know. Like, these are two sources that are major media sources that we reacted to. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
No.
Because I normally don't react to something like that. But you don't quote tweet at me, Les.
Yeah.
Yes.
Get out of here. High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report, right after we tell you about how to make yourself a we're high performers here.
Oh, here we go.
You know, you want to be a high performer when you're making love.
There it is.
I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'll be honest with you. It's cool. We're not, none of us are what we were, you know, 10, 15 years ago. It's okay.
Well, 10, 15 years ago, I was in high school.
Well, not what you were. I think that's fair to say for you as well.
Okay.
In more respect than one.
Yep.
Blue Chew is the way that you solve this. It solves a problem for you. It solves a problem for you. It solves a problem for the lady who you're trying to please. It solves a problem. It's all online.
Yeah.
Look, this is true.
Yeah.
It's all online. You don't have to worry about stupid doctor's visits because they have medical professionals online to meet with you. You don't have to worry about stupid trips to the pharmacy. You don't have to. It's a chewable, so you don't have to worry about a stupid glass of water. No. All you worry about is being a hero in the bedroom, for Christ's sake. You know? That's all you got to worry about. You go to BlueChew.com. You take care of all of this. And you get the first month for free because of the WIP Afternoon Show.
That's what we do. We're looking out for our peoples.
We called our friends at Blue Chew. We were like, how about we pay for their first month?
Yep.
So that's what we're doing. You go to BlueChew.com.
Incentivized.
Just try it.
Are you yelling at people?
Yeah. You just use code 94. You get your first month for free. All you do is you pay for the shipping. And then once you move past that, it's all made and shipped here in the United States, so it's cheaper. It all comes right into your mailbox, so you don't have to worry about going to the pharmacy. It's great. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Staxin, Levitra, Cialis. Just go to BlueChew.com, use code 94. Your first month is free, and then you can. And then
chew
you
it.
Can.
Do you want to give me a pregnant pause in there?
Sorry.
Chew it and do it.
Maybe send Les one of those packages.
I was going to make the same joke.
Yeah. Let's talk a little Phils. We haven't done it all day.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Kev Jackie Baseball.
All right. Some quick news and notes to get it out of the way early here.
Some notes.
Notes.
Some notes.
Marsh is still out of the lineup, even though there's a righty on the mound tonight.
Is that Phantom Jack, or is it really his name?
I know. Well, so Marsh is not on the lineup, but Castellanos, even though he was removed from the game yesterday a little bit early.
Had a hip thing.
He is back in there, so the Ripken streak continues.
There you go.
We are taking down Cal Ripken's record one day at a time. So Marsh out of the lineup, Castellanos in the lineup. Bryson Stott is in the leadoff spot again. Andrew Painter is pitching in Clearwater tonight. Even more exciting. So a lot of fun stuff is there as well. Justin Crawford went 4-for-5 up at Lehigh Valley yesterday.
He hadn't hit too well recently.
He
right?
He had a cold streak. Yeah. Now three of the hits were infield hits, and one was a bunt. And then he flipped one into the outfield his last at bat, so he's heating up. But I know people are all Justin Crawford up, and I think it's an interesting option if the outfielders keep getting hurt here, or hurt and are also not producing.
Well, yeah. Though, yeah, he's a AAA, and you would think you kind of want him to smoke AAA.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like if you're bringing him up,
you don't want him struggling.
And you want him to bring a, like, you want to feel confident. You don't know that he's going to succeed here, but what you don't want to do is bring a guy up and have him hit .189 to replace another guy who's hitting 100 and another guy who can't. You know what I mean?
You want to come up and fail, and then, yes, and that kind of messes with his mess with his psyche.
Especially because what people will. It's not like there's a ton of prospects up here, sure, where you could just throw him in there and he's just one of many. People will be looking for him to succeed.
People are going to view him as a savior. He's not. He's not. He's. I think he's going to be a good player.
Yeah,
I don't
but
think
not
he's
yet.
Like a savior.
Right.
Savior type.
Right.
But I think at worst, he would provide a spark. He gets on the bases. He makes things happen. He laid it on a bunt last night and beat it out. And I think, like, with Marsh, he's 0 for April. We know that. Johan Rojas, you know, for such a great tracker of the baseball, it's just not a good defense. Like, overall defense, right, like his arm is weak, all that stuff, and the plate does nothing. At worst case, I think Crawford comes up and puts the bat on the baseball. It's not always going to be home runs, impactful, but he won't strike out, I believe, at the same clip.
So you're in favor of this?
Well, I think this team needs a spark. You know, I've been on that track for a little while now because they look dead. Like, they look like they almost have a malaise out there at the start of the season, which is annoying because the hope was if you bring everyone back, they're going to be pissed off. Mm-hmm. And they don't exactly look pissed off.
Well, here's the thing. And listen, I'd be excited to see the kid, but there's a difference between having an initial sort of jolt where the fan base is excited that the young kid is up. He still has to produce. So I don't know what that does for the other players on the team if he's not coming up and at least hitting the ball well, playing good defense, mm-hmm, right? If he's doing the same thing.
But I guess my pushback with the players would be, well, look at the other center field production. It's not like you're getting anything out of that position.
I hear you. I hear you. My only thing is, and you would know this, you're a clubhouse guy.
Oh,
no offense, Mike. they love Brandon Marsh, right?
They do.
So you're bringing up an unproven guy.
Where they look at him a little
sideways. I just wonder what would that do. And now, the trade deadline, I think.
Yeah, he's probably closer to the trade deadline.
Yeah, I don't know about now. Although, I'd be excited, but I don't know how long that excitement would last if he's not producing.
And he's not ripping the cover off the ball.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's Rinconis has probably produced more. A guy named Otto Kemp. He actually started in left field for the first time.
Otto Kemp?
Yeah, he started in left field.
It's a good name.
He never started in the outfield ever. All of a sudden, he's playing left field last night. I think that's notable. And it's also notable, Crawford had only played out left field four times in his entire minor league career. He has now started there two out of the last three games. He's starting there tonight up at Lehigh Valley. So
is the idea to move Kepler to center?
So that's what I was going to bring up. Kepler in his career has played over 1,100 innings in center field. Now, that was in more 2018, 2019, you know, before COVID. But I think at worst he could stand there and could catch the balls at him. I don't think he's going to make diving catches in the outfield. But I don't know. I think that there could be a move from that standpoint of looking to get someone up to play left field and then Kepler take down some time in center field. So we always like to check in. There's been some meltdowns or some questioning already about Juan Soto and the Mets. I don't think he exactly helped himself by saying that he missed having Aaron Judge hitting behind him.
Yeah.
It called him the best hitter in baseball. I'm sure that three quarters of $1 billion. I'm sure Steve Cohen was thrilled to say.
Yep. By the way, I'm sure Pete Alonso, who has hit .350 this year behind Juan Soto, was thrilled to hear it as
well. Yeah, like, he misses Judge. So,
and they gave you a suite.
He could have just stayed with Judge for $5 million less. I mean, what are we talking about here? Either way, Spike's old co-worker up at WFAN, Sal Licata.
You'll love this, Ike.
I heard it.
Lost his mind on Juan Soto. Here he is.
I love Sal.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
quite the rant.
And listen, it's early, too.
Yep.
And his point is, He wants Soto to come up with a hit in a big situation.
Right.
Not, like, he doesn't care about the on-base percentage.
Right, that's
the fact that you're walking and all of that stuff.
Yeah, because I'm sure the other Mets fans, because there's a divide with Mets fans now. The other Mets fans will go, his on-base percentage is
like
413.
Like 4-something, yeah.
He's like, I don't care.
Yeah. And I would agree with that.
Yeah, of course.
We're not paying you for your OBP, man.
Yep.
I know. And he's the one with the price tag that's going to always be around.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty outlandish. Yeah. And then last thing here, we are monitoring the Jordan Romano possible move to the closer role with Alvarado. Started looking a little dicey.
Little shaky. Yeah,
little dicey.
Last few outings.
Yeah.
I said to Jack today, I was like,
it's so week to week with these relievers, man.
It is.
Well, Alvarado.
Alvarado was cooked 2 Mondays, or Romano was cooked 2 Mondays right. ago. Now he's kind of interesting.
Yeah, well.
He made a mechanical change, Spike. You love those.
Well, by the way, Alvarado. Well, no. Somebody mentioned to me on Twitter that his, like, where he was, his arm slot,
who,
I guess.
Alvarado or Romano?
Romano.
Well, they changed his leg kick.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes.
Well, the velocity is back up.
Oh.
And Alvarado, like, I understand he's going to be a guy that that will make a sweat every once in a while. But you can't make a sweat and get hit hard all over the place, too. There's one thing to walk guys, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But he hasn't looked – I'm okay with a little bit of nervousness with a closer. But Alvarado has looked shaky the last few times.
Can I ask a quick question?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He changed his leg kick.
Romano did, yeah.
Yeah. Did they not notice this in the spring?
Well, it was like that in the spring. He got away from it, and they got him back to where he was in the spring. That's the...
The spring just... It was 2 weeks ago.
What do you mean to tell you? Well, I think he changed it because I think he changed his leg kick because he's trying to find more velocity. And the idea is the higher you raise your leg, the more velocity you get. But I think that also screwed with his command. So I think they wanted to tone it back down, and they also may have found something with the arm. I don't know.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, it was much lower in spring training.
Okay.
Yes.
There you go.
There you go.
Well, there's a lot going on with a windup.
Well, it's, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, mechanically, I guess you
can. You broke it down for us.
Well, yeah. Listen. They say that a pitcher always has to repeat his mechanics. If he can't repeat his mechanics, he's not going to throw strikes.
Is that what happened to you?
No, I just I found Keystone Light and lost my cutter.
Okay. Jack, what's coming up at the top 5 and 5?
It's an on-the-record Friday.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go on the record with 5 things.
Wow, just on the record.
Yeah. I got some things I got to get off my chest.
All right. Okay. Yeah. That is coming up next. It is On the Record Friday, 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Builders, designers, contractors. I know you're working
and
hard
Spike.
Out there. And Spike.
Yep.
And mostly.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilla, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard here as we discuss, well, a big one. The idea of A.J. Brown being traded for a top 5 pick in this draft. Would you do it? I would. Hugh would. Kyle would not. Howard Eskin yesterday said he had heard the Eagles had some conversations about a trade involving A.J.
Conversations.
Yeah. Well, it happens around draft time, but A.J. Brown's the name that keeps coming up here. Would you do it? I would. 215-592-9494. All right, a lot of layers to this. We'll keep taking your phone calls. Egg dishes, your favorite way to eat eggs, the most creative egg dish we hear today, best one that gets us to want to try it on a try day, wins a 4-pack of tickets to the Eagles draft show next Thursday night, the Eagles draft party at Lincoln Financial Field. Doors open at 7 p.m. We'll be there doing a live show. All right, I want to get to Christopher Sanchez in a little bit here in this segment because he was awesome yesterday. And it really hit me where he now – he's moving up a list in Philadelphia sports. We'll try to find the right spot for him on that list coming up. First, back to the phones on A.J. and the Birds. Joe and Mayfair. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Joe. I thought you were a little bit of an idiot earlier, but more and more I think about it. And by the way, hello, Hugh. I haven't heard you much today, so I want to say hi to you, Hugh.
What's going on, man?
Hey, Joe. Go ahead.
We're living the dream. So I'll run this scenario by Kyle. And I know, Kyle, you don't want to get rid of AJ, and I don't either, but in the perfect world, if you can trade AJ to the Patriots for the 4, then you flip the 4 and get a ransom. If Abdul Carter's there and you can get a top 10 pick from the Bears or the Jets and add another 2 and another 2 in another year, because it does take you're going to get a lot for that 4.
Mm-hmm.
If I could trade A.J. Brown and get the 9 pick and their second round pick and then draft a Williams kid from Arizona and a receiver and get an additional 2 picks for A.J., and gain $25 million in the cap?
You play like 10-dimensional chess? Why? Like,
well,
I don't
know how he could pull this off.
Oh, like my God. No,
that's
stop.
That's a lot of moving parts.
Keep it simple.
Joe, it is, as you would say, brain wrestling, but I like
that's
the brain
a lot
wrestling.
Of brain
but,
wrestling.
Joe, he is good at
trading the chip. If you have the four, and a lot of people want to move up and get the four, you can get a king.
I only got so much time on the clock.
Four and turn it into multiple picks?
No.
I'm open to doing that as long as I can get that Williams kid from Arizona.
Well, you know what's funny about this, as Kyle screams now? I'm thinking back to Howie, right? And this is how we ended up with Jalen Carter. They pushed that first-round pick back an extra year, and it became Jalen Carter. So, yes, I mean, Joe, and in your idea, we're getting future stuff. Plus, we're turning AJ into a top-10 pick and an early second-round pick, and we have our own 32 anyway. We're getting three top 40 players this year.
And if you could do that, and as long as you're getting the kid Williams from Arizona, who is 6'4", 215, who is unbelievable. If you can get a younger version of AJ, pay him less for the next 4 years, and gain a second, and have your own late first, I'm willing to do that, but I'm not willing to do it just to get Abdul Carter. If you can turn AJ into three picks, a one and two twos, I'm willing to do that 100%. Because, again, AJ is a great, great player. But you're gonna have to pay Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, you're gonna have to pay Carter. I don't wanna have the Eagles have nothing around this team in the next 2 to 3 years. But if you can't replace AJ, you can't do it.
Yeah, you probably can't.
Because the reason you can't do that is because you're gonna double Devontae, who is the Slim Reaper, a big 6'1", 175, 185, and now you're singling the other side. And now you're just playing eight in the box, which is going to kill Jalen Hurts, kill your offensive line, and kill Saquon. If you can replace AJ with that top 10 pick in a younger version of AJ and get two other twos, I'm good with it. Other than that, the answer is no.
So when we throw this out, so I don't think you are either. So Joe, when we throw this out. You could do whatever you want with the fourth pick, right? Like, we're giving it to Howie.
Correct.
Like, I want Carter or I want Hunter, but that's okay if you don't, right? You just give the pick to Howie and let him figure out. Maybe he trades back. Joe, I think it's interesting. All right, Joe, what do you got for us for an egg dish?
Well, it's the best way to eat. I've never tried it till last year. You got to make the homemade ravioli. You got to put the over easy egg in the ravioli, a little salt, pepper, a little olive oil. Homemade egg ravioli is unbelievable taste.
Wow, I never had that.
Wait
that
a minute,
sounds
what now?
Homemade egg ravioli, the over easy egg.
Oh yeah, Gordon Ramsay. I learned how to make it with Gordon Ramsay. You open the egg in the middle of a ravioli and you boil them. The taste is unbelievable. You put a little olive oil spread on it with a little bit of salt and pepper. Oh my gosh, it is heaven.
I'm in, Joe. That sounds good. That's a good phone call by Joe. He's giving Howie. I mean. It is, whether it's brain wrestling or not, like if we trade AJ for a top five pick, Howie could do whatever he wants with that pick.
But okay, hold on. But then you're banking on all of these different outcomes to work out for you. Like AJ Brown for Abdul Carter, Abdul Carter becoming a great player is a much more realistic possibility than you replacing AJ Brown with next year's pick.
Yeah, I mean,
getting another great player and then getting another guy in the second round.
That's
just way too much.
Sure, it's like splitting your hand in blackjack.
It's even dumber.
Well, I mean, you could think of it that way,
I do.
I know. Well, you could do that, right? We're giving, again, I just find it interesting. Not you, Kyle, because you've been consistent on this. 3 days ago, everyone told me Howie Roseman has figured out the NFL draft. Now I'm giving him a huge asset to use in the NFL draft. It's like, nah, it's too risky. Well, if he's figured out the draft, then we should be all into this.
I don't think he has.
Well, I know.
I mean, like, the only way that, like, I could ever be talked into it. Like, if they ended up trading AJ Brown tomorrow, we're on draft day, and they got Abdul Carter, I'd be like, okay, I hate that they got rid of AJ Brown, but
you'll warm up to it.
I can warm up to the idea of Abdul Carter being on the defense.
What'd I tell you, Joe? Didn't I tell you that earlier?
The Carter twins.
I caught it, didn't I?
But we're all going to feel the effect of losing A.J. Brown in this offense next year.
So, okay, let's play off of that for a second. Hugh, you said something the first hour that we didn't really flesh out much. You know, we're anticipating, I think as a fan base, they're going to throw it more next year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just in general. But you said something in the first hour that maybe the league is changing. And sometimes smart teams see trends
ahead of the curve.
Now, last year the Eagles were ahead of it, right? They they signed Saquon and they ran their way to a Super Bowl. I know Saquon's not going to be able to run like that every year, but maybe the Eagles want to run their offense running the football more. And in that case,
you don't need the top receiver.
You don't
like
need
that.
Two top receivers.
No,
for that
money. you can win with the Slim Reaper, because I look at it like this, man. I think a lot of times people are reactionary because they hear what's being said and not look at the pieces that are already there. You went out and got A.J. Dillon. Now, he's been hurt. He had the neck thing. As Kyle puts his head back, like, what are you talking about? You got two backs in the backfield that they're probably going to play off each other. Saquon Barkley's not going to have the season that he had last year. He's not going to rush for over 2,000 yards. He's still going to have a good season, but it might not be to the volume that it was last year. Mm. But he's still going to be a very serviceable back. Now, still don't know what's going to happen with Dallas Goedert. Still don't know what that is, so that's still in play.
Hmm.
You know, as far as the tight end is concerned. So you and you could still get some pretty good receivers later in the later rounds. Puka Nacua was a late round draft.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm kind of looking at. You know, you could find some late round talent and still be an effective offense.
Oh my goodness.
Your quarterback is the catalyst.
And stop.
I mean, he is the catalyst.
I'm sorry. No, he's not. They were the 29th ranked passing offense last year.
He's the catalyst, though, Kyle. And you're not hearing what I'm saying. You're going by what you saw last year.
No, you guys are.
No,
you're
I'm
saying
not.
They run the ball. They didn't throw as much to AJ.
You're
going to have to change that.
You're not listening to what I'm saying.
I'm asking the question if the Eagles want to win a different way now. I mean, you may say they have to do it this way.
Yes, they do.
But part of the reason we all think they're going to have to throw it more is why? Because the defense is going to be worse.
Saquon's not going
to
be as good.
If I add to the defense, perhaps the defense won't be as big of a drop as we anticipate.
You're adding a rookie to the defense.
I understand that. But right now, we're not adding anything to the defense.
I understand that. So I think they need to, and then you're going to lose on offense, too.
Yeah,
you're going to make both sides of your team worse.
Man, some rookies last year that balled out.
I don't, don't care. I mean, honestly, if we lose AJ Brown and you're going to sit here and tell me we got AJ Dillon, that's Super Bowl syndrome to the max.
Well, I didn't say that.
That is not the Super Bowl syndrome.
Yes, it is.
Will Shipley has burst. Okay?
Don't give me AJ Brown, AJ Dillon. We'll be fine.
See, when I say stuff like that, you get triggered because you're not hearing what I'm actually saying.
Because it's a joke.
It's not a joke.
It is.
It's a tandem running trio.
Dude,
if you want
I don't.
Duo trio,
right,
whatever you want to call it.
Put AJ Dillon on the side for a sec because we don't know what his neck.
Please do.
The concept is, what if the Eagles want to run the football now? Then we don't need, I've been saying this since the middle of the season. If we are a running team now, it makes no sense to have two receivers at this money.
But it makes more sense to have three running backs.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. They were a running team last season.
By accident.
But you know the history of teams of running backs who get that many touches and what they do the very next season. Don't give me AJ Dillon. We have no idea what he's going to be. You need as much firepower on offense as you're going to get. And by the way, you brought it up. Dallas Goedert's probably going to go too. You lose two weapons on offense.
I understand, but all right. Let me just ask you the question then. Forget all the names. If if the Eagles say to themselves, "We want to run our way to another Super Bowl," you may say it's dumb. Why are we paying two receivers?
I think the Eagles. But you said they ended up stumbling into the running back thing by accident.
But maybe they want this to be their identity.
They did it
now.
As a necessity. I don't think they do.
All right, then.
And even if they do, I think that's the wrong way to go about it.
Well, then maybe
they need to pivot. Like AJ Brown was talking about it himself. They're going to need to change their offense next year. He knows. Everyone with a brain knows they're going to have to change their offense next year.
Yeah, unless they don't. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
if they don't, they're not going to be as good.
Right, but bottom line is this. I've compared Jalen Hurts to Russell Wilson at times. The Seahawks were better when they ran the football at Russell, and he was a complimentary piece. They turned the football over to him, and they didn't win as much. Maybe the Eagles look at Jalen the same way. Like, we could win with this guy with defense and running the football. I don't know. I don't know what the Eagles are going to do. All I know is this. If I can get a top five pick for AJ, I'm in. 215-592-9494. Let's go to David in Wilmington, and then we got to touch on Christopher Sanchez and a list he belongs on now. What's up, David?
Man, you guys got Kyle hyped up today, don't you?
I think the Eagles did. We just lit the match here. We told him what was going on. What's up, David? What are you feeling?
He does know keeping A.J. Brown isn't going to make Jalen Hurts magically pass the ball better, right?
I'm not sure, actually. Go ahead. I'm not sure if he knows that. I mean, I understand your point, right? Jalen is Jalen, whether A.J. is there or not. I mean, he's going to throw the ball well or he's not.
And it's going to cost more than just A.J. Brown for the fourth-round pick. It's going to probably Dallas Goedert in with him.
It might, and a lot of people have been saying, you know, like, that's not enough. I'm just saying, if you could get a top-five pick for him, would you do it?
Yeah, I would definitely do it.
I
dynamite.
I'm with you. All right, what's your egg dish for Tri-Day?
Nothing beats an old-fashioned Eggs Benedict.
Eggs Benedict. Yeah. I was wondering today how many
what
people
would...
Never had an Eggs Benedict?
Don't think so.
Look it up, Hugh. I think.
I don't
see.
Think
I
so.
Think Hugh's not an egg guy. I mean, I think
yeah,
we realize
you're clearly
this.
Not. I mean.
Well, how do you like your eggs?
Scrambled.
That's it. Straight.
Yep. Boiled. That's it.
Boiled. Ew.
Scrambled and boiled. No.
Anyone comes with boiled eggs, I'm not voting for it.
I mean, if I had to say how I usually eat eggs, it's usually just regular scrambled. I make it myself. But if I'm out somewhere where someone wants to make me an egg dish, I'll have them a bunch of different ones.
Yeah. By the way, the point about what you said. It's not going to make Jalen Hurts throw the ball better.
Mm.
Do you think Jalen Hurts is going to throw the ball better without A.J. Brown? What does he have a better chance? What gives Jalen Hurts the best chance of succeeding on offense next year?
Sure,
A.J. Brown, no A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
Nonsensical.
Well, but they had A.J. Brown and Devontae last year, and they were the 29th ranked passing offense.
They'd probably be 32 without A.J. Brown.
Not that much of a difference.
And they might be a worse running team, by the way.
Maybe, yeah.
Like, A.J. Brown takes a... I
agree with that.
You can't undersell the impact of A.J. Brown on the offense.
I think we need to start looking at Jalen different, too. And I think that's the thing that most people are afraid of, because... Jalen's not your traditional quarterback in the sense of the high volume passer and mm-hmm. that cat right there. So I don't think it's fair to look at him and say, well, he has to have this, that, or the third to win, because he's shown that he can win without that. I mean, seriously. And he did throw the ball all around the schoolyard in the Super Bowl.
Played great.
So I think that we have to be open to this offense looking different than it did in the past few seasons that he was here.
I agree with that. I mean, I wonder if the Eagles get to the point where they say our best path with Jalen, we can win with him, is defense, running the football, and Jalen's legs, instead of trying to throw the ball the way we did a few years ago, and it didn't really work out. I mean, I think that is on the table, and if they get a top-five pick, I would do it. Where do you come down? 215-592-9494. And, of course, a four-pack of tickets to the sold-out Eagles 2025 draft party at The Link, presented by Lincoln Financial Group, next Thursday, this coming Thursday, 6 days from now, April 24th at 7 p.m. Okay, so we'll keep taking your calls and all this, but we got to talk about Christopher Sanchez for a second here. He was awesome yesterday. How about that, Hewitt? He had the most strikeouts a lefty pitcher's had here since Cole Hamels. This guy's becoming a star in front of our eyes.
And it was right on time, man,
mm-hmm.
because the one, like, coming off of the mound appearance that Nola had the other day, and him coming out and giving you seven strong the way that he did, seven strong, I thought it was phenomenal. It was real. It was what this team needed. It was what this city needed at the right time, especially when you talk about all the vitriol that we had for them yesterday, the Phillies the other day. Yeah, it was right on time. It was good to see.
All right, let me throw this out, because I thought about this as I watched him. So last year, Hugh, the Phillies gave Sanchez an extension on his contract, right? He got a four-year, $22.5 million deal. It bought out some arbitration years, but that's his contract. 4 years, 22, and that's total, not per year. Christopher Sanchez makes 4 years, $22.5 million. He has options on his deal at the end for an extra $14 million and then an extra $15 million. So if they play this whole contract out, he would have a six-year, $51.5 million deal. The more I think about it, I think this has now become, if not the best, right up there as the best contract in the city right now. So, like, you have Bryce Harper, but that's a different kind of contract, mm-hmm. right? That's a 13-year, $330 million deal.
You're talking about the time, the length.
The length.
And the length and the money.
What he meant for the franchise.
Yeah.
That's probably, you know, the most important contract in the city. Okay, put that there. Kyle Schwarber feels like a steal. They got him for 4 years, $79 million. That's mm-hmm. a great contract. I would say on the Eagles, now before last year, maybe a few more of these looked like steals. Now I think a lot of these deals are fair. Like Saquon's deal, they paid him more money, so he gets paid fairly. AJ gets paid fairly. I think Jordan Mailata's got an incredible contract. I think it was 3 years, $66 million for what he is at left tackle. But Hugh, Sanchez might be the best bang for the buck in the city. He makes, on average, $8 million a year. He looks like a Cy Young, or at least an all-star, if not a Cy Young contender.
He was focused, too, yesterday, man. He was doing his thing. And like I said, the biggest thing that jumped out to me, Joe, is the timing. You needed that. You needed – he calmed everything down yesterday. And it was just great to see. The people enjoyed it. The people were excited about it. So, yeah, it was great to see. It was perfect timing.
I just think it's funny because when we usually bring up contracts, we bring up the bad ones, like Tobias, right, back in his time here with the Sixers. When we bring up Trey Turner, we're not usually kind about the contract. Christopher, that's a win for Dombrowski. I mean, Sanchez, he's become for a while now, over a year, a top-of-the-rotation arm. He was awesome yesterday. And you're right about the timing because they had lost. So he's pitched after four Nola losses because he follows Nola.
Mm-hmm.
He's won all his games.
Yeah.
They need it.
You need that.
Yeah, I don't think the Phillies planned that, but it's worked out that he pitches after Nola and he's had to clean up the mess afterwards. I don't know who would be fifth on this list, Hugh, because I was writing down the best contract. So I wrote Mailata, Harper, Schwarber, Sanchez.
I would say, who did you say? Mailata, Schwarber, Sanchez?
Mailata on the Eagles, Bryce, Schwarber, Christopher Sanchez. I'm just thinking like good contracts. So like the team's getting a real good deal.
I would say, and just because of what happened, transpired, Jalen, you know, for the money that you paid the quarterback and him to win the Super Bowl, 2 years after you paid him?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty decent.
So I would say during the season, most people would have pushed back on that. But you look now, I think he's...
Well, yeah, that's what I'm doing. Revisionist history.
Well, he won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And
don't laugh at that, man. Where
does he rank now? Like 10th in average quarterback salary?
Something like that.
Yeah. I mean, and probably, 2 years from now, he'll rank 12th, 13th? I mean, they might redo his deal, but...
Yeah. Like, we're talking about the financial situation for the Eagles. I don't necessarily view Jalen as one of the guys that's like holding things up cap-wise.
Not now. Maybe right. 3 years from now, but
yeah.
not now.
So, I mean, in terms of a quarterback deal,
yeah,
it looks really good.
Like you're getting bang for the buck. Yeah. I mean, look, the Mailata deal was great. The Bryce one is obviously one that changed the Phillies. Schwarber was a steal considering what they paid him. Sanchez, and we could put Jalen in there. 215-592-9494. Brandon in Brookhaven is up. Hey, Brandon.
First thing I'd like to say, give a shout-out to my friends driving home from the Flyers game to Buffalo. They went on a tour trying to find the best Buffalo wing. So just want to give a shout-out to them first.
Did they find them?
Well, they reported back that Anchor Bay was probably the best.
Anchor Bar.
I've been there.
Okay.
Kyle, you're familiar with it.
They do have some good wings. Have you ever had them, Kyle, the Anchor Bar?
No, but I know that's the famous wing
spot. I've been there. It's a good spot.
Okay. Well, anyway... Now I'm going to rip you and Hugh.
Okay, go for it.
This is absolutely ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You want to trade A.J. Brown for a top pick, which I get that, but you don't know if these guys are going to be available at that spot. Then, not to mention, how did it work out for the Titans? I heard Hugh say that, we'll get another receiver in the second round. Well, the Titans traded for a first-round receiver, and it didn't even work for them.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you trade him? He's going to be a dead cap hit. He's given great value now. He's probably arguably a top three receiver in the NFL. He is involved, and you said the running offense? He's involved in that because these guys have to worry about A.J. Brown on the RPO. It just makes no sense to me. I'm on Kyle's side.
I mean, and that's fine, but what about the financials about the situation? I mean, because that's like when
he is great value. Right now, he's great value.
When I'm talking about this, I'm talking about the monetary value as far as, you know, you're going to be in, like, the Eagles probably are in worse cap trouble than we know. And that's kind of how I was looking at it. And the locker room dynamic. And if there's an opportunity to go out and move up and get a guy like Abdul Carter, I don't see a problem with that. Especially when you talk about how much we've lost on the defense. Really don't.
Well, I mean, we're not in the locker room. I think it's overblown. So, but I can't argue that
Right. I have been in one. I mean, no disrespect to you, but I have been in one. And I think that when you look at everything that has happened this year, you know, when you talk about Brandon Graham saying what he said, and the fact that this is even a conversation being had, you have to factor in that might be a situation where it's unattainable. They can't fix it.
Then I see them get a touchdown and they're doing a dance together. I mean, we don't know.
Well, I mean, none of us know, Brandon.
These are hypothetical.
It is all hypothetical. But now, Brandon, your point on value. Look, he's a great player. This is not about how good he is. But you said value. I mean, they pay him a lot of money, and he does not. Last year, at least, he did not get a big amount of targets. I mean, he just didn't.
Well, do you see how much all these other receivers are down getting?
Right, but if I'm paying
you compared to them, and he's a top three receiver.
But we're saying he's top three, but they don't throw him the ball that much. Not that he's not good. The way the team worked last year, they didn't.
The next year, we change in the offense probably to throw the ball.
Maybe, or we could keep running it
in the Super Bowl.
Well, that's because the team shut down Saquon Barkley. I mean, I think the Eagles went in with the idea they'd run.
Look, now we have an offensive weapon to throw the ball
Absolutely.
To. And that helps with A.J. Brown and the dynamic between a big, strong receiver who can power through you and jump up at the ball and an excellent route runner in Devontae Smith.
Let me ask you a question, Brandon, because I don't have any argument that A.J. is a big part of this team and he helps them win a lot of football games. A year or two from now, and you mentioned the point that they have cap issues down the line. That's why they've let a lot of these guys go on defense. If they have to pay Carter $40 million a year and Nolan $20 million a year and Quinyon $25 a year, I think you'd agree with me, Brandon. Someone on the offense is not going to be here. They're going to have to even it back out. So who's leaving?
Yeah.
Who's leaving?
I don't know, but how he's going to figure that out.
Well, no, but I think what everyone's missing today is how he could wait 2 years and then whoever he decides to move on from, A.J., Devontae, Jalen, they'll get far less than if they do it now. You're not getting a top five pick 2 years from now from A.J. Brown. You might get a fourth round pick.
Brandon, can I ask you a question real quick? I'm sorry to cut you off, bro, but can I ask you a question real quick?
Go right ahead. I mean,
I just wanted to ask, what do you think that we feel the genius of Howie Roseman is?
Managing the cap.
Exactly.
And his ability to get ahead of things like this, correct?
Listen, I know you're trying to set me
no,
up.
No, I'm not. Here, like, Brandon, I'm not trying to set you on. I'm trying to have a conversation. And all I'm saying is this. Now, I'm not saying that this is real. But just say if it was, don't you trust Howie enough to know that this might be a way for him to get in front of it? Because he's, like, to your point, he sees things that we don't.
Well, also, too, like the 10-dimensional chess caller I heard, Howie's going to be maybe not just restructure Hurts contract, restructure all these contracts.
That's the one. Now, if you wanted to say, like, that was where I was going. If you wanted to save some money, that's the contract that you probably could restructure, add some more years, and, you know, kick the can down the road. But when I heard this morning, that was one of the first things I thought about. I'm with you. I don't want to trade AJ. I really don't. But
sounds like you do.
But no, when you listen to what's being said and everything that has happened, it doesn't sound as crazy to me as it does to everybody else.
All right, Brandon, what's your egg dish? What do you got? Favorite eggs?
Mine's very simple, and I'm going to try to please Hugh here with the bacon part. But a hard-boiled egg sandwich on sourdough bread with bacon. Nice crispy bacon.
Wait a minute, what did he say again?
Hard-boiled egg sandwich on sourdough bread with bacon. Excuse
bacon.
Me.
Bacon.
Sourdough?
I'm a sourdough guy. Brandon,
I hate hard-boiled eggs, man.
Yeah, I don't have them often, but I'm in. I sourdough bread, though. I'm in on that.
I don't know if I like sourdough bread.
I'm a big sourdough
I like
guy.
Brioche.
Brioche is good.
Brioche hits hard.
Sweet, awesome.
Brioche.
Yeah, it's good.
With some bacon and a brioche and the egg.
Yeah, I hear you on that.
I didn't change this man's sandwich. That didn't even what he said.
You totally made your own. 215-592-9494. All right, your phone calls. I'm willing to trade A.J. Brown for a top five pick in the draft, maybe for Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. If they're there on the board, that'd be my stipulation. If they're there on the board, I would trade A.J. for those. You can win draft party tickets for your favorite way to eat eggs. Scott Fransky at noon. Your call's next. It is the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Jimmy would not be happy with Aaron Nola last night. Man.
He would not. You're right about that. Jimmy wouldn't have said for that.
Bad start by Aaron Nola.
He was on fire.
No.
Quite the opposite.
Quite the opposite indeed. All right, good morning. I hope you're having a great start. By the way, another chilly day. I don't know what's going on here.
It's going to be nice today.
It's going to be 80 on Saturday.
Okay, but you know what?
80.
It's not today.
I know. I'm just saying it's going to be 80 on Saturday.
It's going to be warm, like pleasant this afternoon. 64 and sunny.
I'll take that. That's good.
I'll take that too. I'm just saying, when we woke up, not good.
And yesterday was really cold.
I know. And it affected the game. But Aaron Nola's got to be better. Got to be better. Johan Rojas has to grip the ball. And Trey Turner's got to be able to go. You know, at one point, what was it yesterday when Trey ran? What did he do?
When he got thrown out in second?
No. I remember seeing him around the bases at one point. Anyway, look, obviously, it's just amazing he can be so fast and so laterally not fast.
Oh, the lateral is just brutal.
I guess I should use the word quick. Not laterally quick, but straight line fast. Yeah. It's crazy.
And he doesn't seem to have great instincts out there.
I agree.
It feels like he's never moving quickly. And like, Jimmy, to your point, like, if you were at a game and you watched Jimmy play, like, as soon as the ball hit, that dude is moving in a direction. He had a feel for it. He knew where the ball
was
going.
And by the way, we don't
Trey
have to compare
him. Trey feels like he's, like, flat-footed all the time.
I agree. And it's not just the...
It's not just Jimmy. It was just an example.
Like, I'll give you others. Desi Relaford would have gotten that ball. Freddie Galvis would have gotten that ball. I mean,
easily. I mean, like, Freddie was good.
He was. No, Freddie was a great
Galvis
defensive
shortstop. Would not have, but Freddie Galvis would have.
So, you know, it's frustrating. I mean, that's a ball Trey Turner's got to get. And knowing this is year three of an 11-year deal, what the heck, man?
And Joe, coaching is all. I text James during the game last night. The first play, when he should have gotten out of the inning at 2-0, mm-hmm. I went, double play. There was nobody there. Like, what defensive alignment were they running out there? That to me. Was a coaching thing, not on Trey, and then Trey compounded it.
Yeah,
later,
it's really, it's been messy early going this year.
Very messy.
You know, look, they had a good first week and a half, and they've had a bad last week and a half. And it nets out with a 10-8 record and a backslide. And Aaron Nola has lost half their starts. Or, excuse me, Aaron Nola has lost half their losses. I mean, he's 0-4. They got
that
eight losses.
That is a wild stat. I didn't realize it. That's wild.
Got half of them. All right, to the phones we go. And by the way, an optimist would say, okay, well, if he rounds into form, then my team's really, really good. And there's something to be said for that. It's not inconceivable. But 0-4 out of the gate and the ERA, you know, moving towards 7, that's not good. Derek and Paoli. Derek, good morning.
What's up, man? You keep dressing like that, man, you might end up in time like Jalen Hurts, man.
Good point.
There you go. I mean? There you go.
He's classing it up in there.
Yeah, I'm going to be in that iconic category.
That's like a grown-up today, man.
There you go.
Keep it up, man.
Derek, have you seen the show on YouTube?
I believe it's the ironic category you would be in.
Have you seen it, Derek?
I'll be watching it, but I'm a truck driver, so I can't do both. I can do one or the other, you know what I'm saying?
Makes sense.
Hearing you is better than seeing you, you know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
Nah, you know, I'm just...
All good, buddy.
I got a question for y'all, right? Because I do watch a lot of Phillies games, right? Do you think putting Bryce Harper back in right field will ever happen? Because it seems like they have a lot of problems in the outfield, man.
That's a great question. My simple answer is probably not. If I had to put money on it, I'd say no.
I mean, he looks like he's back healthy, right?
Yeah, I mean, let me put it this way. If a guy like Ohtani can get closer to pitching for real soon, then Bryce Harper should be able to throw from right field. And
because I see him, he'd be crashing into like the sidewalls, going for like them foul balls and all that. I just wonder if he'll ever.
Yeah, that's a different kind of thing. I mean, I think, you know, banging the arm and elbow is different than throwing the baseball with velocity.
Okay, I think it's more throwing.
Yeah, he's got to be able to throw. He's got to be able to throw to home plate. And initially, it made sense.
It's the longest throw in the sport.
Yeah,
you know?
Initially, it made sense to not put him out there. But I can't imagine why he shouldn't be physically capable of playing right field. And then it's just a matter of, is he truly willing to or not?
And doesn't make sense for the team.
Well, of course,
like we talk about, like it does, but it depends what the other options are at those positions.
Absolutely. But also, Derek, are the Phillies really willing to go to him and say, we need you to do this?
No.
Yeah. I got one more question about I saw something yesterday on Facebook where they were saying the Eagles should trade Jalen Ramsey for Devontae Smith.
That was dumb. No, that was dumb. It was Yahoo Sports, whatever.
Why would you get rid of Darius Slay?
It was the
13
pick and Jalen Ramsey for 32 and Devontae, and it was very stupid.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's crazy.
All right, Derek, give me the best form of entertainment this century.
I'm going to go with NFL Red Zone.
NFL Red Zone, interesting. So a lot of people dig it. It's not my thing.
I love it.
Oh, it's great. You don't like it?
I don't do it.
When the Eagles aren't playing, I'm on it.
Is it because you've never done it and that's just not what you do?
Friends' houses. I've seen it a couple times. But
so you'd rather just watch one, even if it's a bad game? Even if it's like a, you know, Giants, whatever.
Flip back and forth. Two games. You know, if the Eagles aren't on.
What about
on,
when there's only one game, though? We get that, too.
We do, but a lot of times that's during an Eagles post-game situation, so I can live there. Also, sometimes I'll just float away, take a walk, take a bath. Read a ball
bath. Yeah. On an NFL Sunday. Yep. One of the 18 we get in there.
I'm in my Putin book right now. That's Putin guy, John. Not a good guy.
Not a good guy.
Not a good guy. Not a good guy.
I didn't know you were reading a Putin book.
Yeah, I'm reading a Putin book.
Why?
Only you.
Why? I try to learn stuff and be entertained and, you know, find out
is
what's
Putin
going on.
Is Putin really a real entertaining character?
Well, not entertained in that sense, but, you know, just learn the ways of the world. I mean, you know. And if I'm going to be a leader someday, learn what to do and what not to do.
There you go.
You know, so that's
that
the
was
thing.
The correct answer.
All right, let's listen to Elliot, because, you know, there are two very, very, very notable, very accomplished pass rushers that may be available draft weekend, veterans. And we're talking about T.J. Watt. We're talking about Trey Hendrickson. You'd have to give up a lot to get them. You'd have to pay them a lot. We asked Elliot earlier this week, you know, because you think about, would the Eagles take that first-round pick and trade it for one of them? Remember, years ago, the Eagles traded a first-round pick for Jason Peters. A couple years back, the Eagles traded a first-round pick for A.J. Brown. Both of them worked out in spectacular fashion. Now, it's risky. Sometimes you get a guy like that, and he comes in, and he's kind of more washed up than you'd hope, and, you know, he's overpriced and that, and it can backfire, but it can work. Trey Hendrickson, T.J. Watt, we talked to Elliot. Do you think Howie would be of the mindset to go all in with a Super Bowl caliber roster already in place for a guy like Hendrickson or Watt and be willing to move the first rounder?
So I do think with Howie, it's probably smart to never rule out anything. Like, I think there is a shot that it could happen, but I think it's 1%. I really don't think they're going to make a big-time trade for an expensive player. That's just the sense I've gotten really all offseason, but especially coming back from the owners meeting, is they really view this as like they have their high paid players, and obviously AJ, Saquon, Jalen, Devontae, like the list goes on. And then they have their guys coming up that they're going to pay. So I think the opportunity to grab a cost controlled, ideally like special player at number 32 is too good to pass up to go and, let's be honest, like somewhat overpay for T.J. Watt or Trey Hendrickson. Like, they are great players, but you're giving up a premium asset to acquire that player, and then you're also paying top dollar to make that player happy. So I would be stunned if something like that happened.
All right, John, let me ask you a question here. I give you 5 minutes. Now, in this case, I'm giving you, you know, 30 seconds. But let's say I give you 5 minutes. You're Howie, and I say, Howie, you got 5 minutes to decide. First-round pick for Hendrickson or Watt?
That's it. Just 32 for them, you're saying?
Yeah, 32. And you get, and you got to pay them a lot. And look, I know that's the one X factor we don't know here, how much you got to pay them. But, well, John, I'm giving you either Trey Hendrickson or Watt. You get to pick, and you give up the first-round pick. Are you doing it or not?
All right. My philosophy in general is that if I've seen a guy succeed in the NFL, I'm going to opt for that guy over the you know, the draft pick,
the unknown,
the secret kid who might come in and fail, probably will come in and fail. Probably, I mean, let's think about it. In a million years, is he going to come in and be T.J. Watt?
Extremely unlikely.
No, it's so unlikely.
But if you get T.J. Watt for three years, is that better
at
than
a fifth of the price or whatever it is? Right?
Yeah,
I got to pay $40 million a year for that T.J. Watt. So it does get pretty convoluted. But yeah, I would go for the short thing.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we'll throw that out into the equation for you to contemplate. It's juicy. I mean, they're two really well known, outstanding pass rushers. Would you go in on those guys? 2-1